You are tuned to CICK News on 93.9 FM in Smithers. CICK News is your news source for regional and provincial news Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m. It's hosted by Dan Messick and myself, Pamela Hassan. Find and follow CICK News online at smithersradio.com and frequencynews.ca or wherever you get your podcasts. CICK News is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Government of Canada.
Today on CICK News, as BC cooks in the late summer heat, wildfire activity has skyrocketed across the province in recent days. Although there is currently only one wildfire in the Northwest Fire Zone, there are dozens burning in the Northeast and especially in the Caribou region south of Houston and Burns Lake, creating difficult conditions and lots of smoke, which is blanketing most of Northwest BC right now, and there is no let up in sight. Today we check in with Jessica Mack, Wildfire Information Officer for the Caribou Fire Center, and we hear from Dr. Sarah Henderson, Scientific Director for Environmental Health Services at the BC Center for Disease Control, about the latest research on the impacts of wildfire smoke on human health. Stay with us.
My name is Jessica Mack. I am a Fire Information Officer for the Caribou Fire Center.
Great, Jessica. Thanks so much for being with us here on CICK News. Of course, we've seen some incredible wildfire activity just in the last few days here in the Caribou region in particular. There's a number of fires and lots of smoke that we're seeing here in the Northwest. So maybe you can give us a breakdown of what's going on in the Caribou region right now.
Definitely. So as you mentioned, the Caribou Fire Center has been experiencing a prolonged heat wave. And so that has really dried out our fuels rapidly. So our temperatures have been well above seasonal norms, and we are expecting to see these warmer temperatures to persist over the coming days. And so with this, we've had our fuels that have been highly susceptible to any ignition. Over the weekend, we had lightning that was mostly concentrated in our southern part of our fire center, particularly in the western Chilcotin region. And with this, we have seen 44 wildfires start, with 40 still active here today. Over the last few days, we have seen our wildfires be quite active, just given the dry fuels that we have had throughout the region. Within the western Chilcotin, that holds some of the highest drought code and buildup index, and this just makes our fuels very receptive to any sort of lightning, holdover fires, and just aggressive fire behavior. And so with that, we have seen, obviously, smoke that has pushed into the northern parts of our province.
Jessica, maybe you could tell us a little bit about the past year so far. You know, we're into September now, and we're seeing more smoke than we have throughout the entire summer. What was it like earlier this year?
So on August 28th of this year, we had 155 wildfires within the Caribou Fire Center itself, with just over 4,400 hectares that have been burned. And then as of today, since between April 1st to September 3rd, we've had 198 wildfires with over 33,000 hectares that have burned. So quite a significant increase in the amount of fuels that have burned and the amount of fires that we've had just over the course of the weekend.
And what can you tell us about, you know, the size of these fires and what crews are actually, you know, dealing with? You mentioned that this will probably be prolonged. What's kind of the long-term outlook?
So over the next couple of days, we're continuing to expect to see the hot and dry conditions that we have the last few days. And over the course of a 12 to 13 day period, we are not expecting any lightning over the next few days. However, on Saturday and Sunday, there is the potential for thunderstorms to return to the area.
I guess just the last thing, you know, obviously there's it's a quite a remote area there in the Caribou. Where are some of the major hubs that you're having crews come in to fight these wildfires?
So within the Caribou Fire Center, the western Chilcotin region is where most of our fires are concentrated. And we do have an incident management team and that is in place in Anaham Lake to help support managing those incidents. And we do have a number of resources, both locally and provincially, that have come in to support. I think I would just like to remind the public that we do have a campfire prohibition across the entire region of the Caribou Fire Center. And so we would really encourage and ask that the public please abide by that. We have our resourcing that are on critical incidents and actively fighting fires within the fire center. And we would like to avoid having to divert any resources to go and respond to human-caused fires. So please abide by the campfire prohibition. And just with the potential for holdover fires to be found, just given the dryness of our fuels, we do encourage everyone to report wildfires through our BCWS mobile app, where you're able to report it directly from there and include photos of what you're seeing on the ground. That really helps out our operational staff to be able to better respond to the incident.
Hey, Jessica, thank you so much for all the information today.
Thanks so much.
That was Jessica Mack, Wildfire Information Officer with the Caribou Fire Center. Coming up next, my conversation with Dr. Sarah Henderson, Scientific Director of Environmental Health Services at the BC CDC. Sarah, thanks so much for being with us today. Of course, we're here chatting about the impacts of wildfire smoke. We've been dealing with quite a bit of that here in the Bulkley Valley, never mind across the central interior, especially this year. Maybe you can tell me a little bit about, firstly, some of your research around what are some of the impacts that people can experience or expect when dealing with wildfire smoke as bad as we've seen it?
So when we're talking about wildfire smoke, when it's happening, we know that people who have existing conditions such as asthma and COPD are kind of the first to respond. And we see that smoke exposure can exacerbate those conditions. So people need to maybe go to the doctor or ER or use their rescue medications. More generally, we know that smoke makes people feel kind of gross. You know, they get some symptoms, they have maybe some runny eyes or a bit of a cough, a headache. Those are all very common symptoms. And usually we expect those sort of acute responses to the smoke to go away when the smoke goes away.
Maybe you can give us some sort of gauge as to where does wildfire smoke line up with other pollutants, so that the really tiny particles that seem to cause issue with a lot of these respiratory problems. So where does kind of wildfire smoke sit in that range as opposed to maybe pollutants in a bigger city? A lot of time people think we have really clean air up in the north in the country. But with wildfires, that's obviously not the case.
Yeah, that's a great question. So you're asking about fine particulate matter, or particles less than 2.5 microns in diameter. And that's one of the most important components in wildfire smoke. But we have to remember that wildfire smoke is a very complex mixture of particles and gases, and both the particles and the gases can affect how you feel. Now, when we're comparing wildfire smoke to pollution from other sources, such as traffic or industry, there's some really big differences. First of all, wildfire smoke is highly episodic. So traffic pollution, cars emit about the same amount of pollution all the time in the same places. So it's pretty predictable. It varies a little bit day to day. The same thing for industry. The emissions from an industrial complex are pretty steady over time, and they're always happening in the same place. Wildfire smoke is totally different. It is highly dynamic in space and time, which I'm sure you've experienced in Smithers so far this summer. We also see that the air quality impacts, the magnitude of those impacts are much higher. So we can get very, very high PM2.5 concentrations from wildfire smoke, when we never get concentrations that high from other sources. But there's a bit of a paradox here, because we know that smoke starts to affect the health of the population pretty much as soon as it arrives, and it doesn't have to arrive in very high concentrations to affect how people feel. But people really start paying attention to the smoke when it's really, really smoky. So one of the things we kind of need to learn as a society is to start taking those precautionary measures as soon as it starts to get a little bit smoky, not only think about the health effects when those concentrations are really, really high.
Great, Sarah. That was one thing I wanted to touch upon, because we see these, you know, air quality monitors by the government. I had mentioned there's an app that we spoke to, developed at a UNBC, that tracks all of these smaller kind of personal air quality monitors. So there's a lot of them out there, and you can watch this in real time. And as we've seen with the change of wind, when we know that there's fires active, the colors go from blue to yellow, you know, to light red, to dark red, and that kind of the gauge of the severity of the smoke on the PM2.5. But what I'm curious to know is, what does that actually mean? If I'm going out for 10 minutes at a dark red, you know, how am I being impacted? How are children and older folks being impacted if they go out when there's a moderate severity of smoke versus a high severity of smoke or minimal smoke?
You know, in all cases, it really depends on the individual and their individual reaction to those smoke exposures. And I know that's not a very satisfying answer, but it's true. Different people are different sensitivities to smoke. So, you know, I could go out with a good friend, I could be feeling awful, and my friend could be feeling fine. So it really, the key message here is to listen to your body. And if you're feeling okay in those smoke exposures, you're probably okay. There's still things you can do to reduce your exposure when you're outdoors. You could think about wearing a mask, you could take it easy, you know, rather than doing really heavy exercise where you're going to be breathing really hard. But generally speaking, if you're feeling okay, you're probably doing okay. And we have to remember, we do have excellent air quality in Canada most of the time. Some of these exposures that we're seeing under these smoky conditions, you know, there's people who live under these conditions every day, day in and day out around the world, because they do live in very polluted cities. So smoke is a reason for caution, but it's certainly not a reason for panic.
You know, just before we started this, we chatted about just kind of the developing or evolving rather research, because we've never really had an opportunity to study the exposures to wildfire smoke long term. So how is that changing some of your approach or methodology or just collection of data to better understand this, knowing that we are seeing bigger fires for longer periods? The wildfire season seems to be growing, and we're definitely going to see a lot more of this type of smoke this year.
Yeah, so this question about the long-term impacts of wildfire smoke exposures is very interesting and a little bit complicated. First, whenever we're talking about air pollution from any source, we always think about the acute health impacts of the air pollution and then the longer term health impacts. And usually we say, as a rule of thumb, about 20% of the health impacts attributable to air pollution are from those short term kind of day to day fluctuations. And about 80% are due to kind of your longer term, year in, year out, lifetime exposure. And when we look at how people are being exposed to air pollution in Canada in recent years, what we see is that wildfire smoke is starting to dominate people's lifetime exposures, especially in Western Canada. So because we've, you know, really effectively regulated things like vehicles and industry, they're emitting much less pollution, and over time, we're getting more and more and more exposed to wildfire smoke. There's a few things we don't know about wildfire smoke with respect to its long-term health effects. One is whether or not kind of the period of recovery that we get hopefully every year between, you know, summer and the following summer, whether or not that helps to protect us in any way from those longer term exposures. But so far in the available evidence, we do see that some indication that long-term exposure to wildfire smoke is similar to long-term exposure to other forms of air pollution. So there, you know, there is detriment to respiratory function for people who are exposed. There has been a few studies showing that the people who live in areas with more fire have more increased risk of cancer. And what we're doing now is, you know, really trying to develop the methods to study this question and to study the long-term health effects. We need to be able to follow a group of people over time, usually for at least 10 years, to examine what their exposures were over those years and then what their outcomes were. In British Columbia and in other parts of Canada, we have an excellent opportunity to do that because we have really excellent healthcare data that we can use to help us. One area of particular concern, both in Canada and internationally, is the long-term impacts on the developing fetus and on infants and young children who are exposed, because these are critical developmental periods in a human life, and because air pollution can maybe do cellular damage that would cause longer lasting effects. There are lots of people currently studying this around the world, and that's one of the big studies we have ongoing in BC right now, is looking at those infants who were in utero or born during those really severe summers of 2017 and 2018, which now, you know, the records have been broken again.
Yeah, no doubt. That was, you know, one of the primary questions we had, you know, especially for young children, you know, when should people be cautioned or perhaps maybe not go outside when wildfire smoke is in the area with young children? And how young, you know, would you say? You talk about infancy and kind of when people are born, but what about toddlers or younger children?
Yeah, so there's a few challenges here. There's, again, the evidence is sort of limited, but I would encourage anybody who's pregnant to take precautions to reduce their smoke exposures during pregnancy. We have enough evidence to suggest that these exposures are associated with negative birth outcomes, such as preterm birth, and potentially lower respiratory health among those infants in their early life. Now, I'd want to be especially careful around newborn infants whose lungs are just kind of encountering air for the first time, and really try to protect them from those smoke exposures. And then, you know, when we're talking about toddlers and younger children, obviously, if those children have conditions such as asthma, we want to take precautions. And we're going to keep a really close eye on them. So the reason, one of the reasons children are at higher risk is because, first of all, they breathe faster than adults and they breathe more air per kilogram body weight than adults do because they're growing and they need that oxygen to develop. Second of all, when they're outdoors, they tend to be more active than adults are. So they like to run around and play. Obviously, these are great things for children to do. But on those smoky days, it can lead to higher exposure. So once again, it's, you know, it's precaution is what I'd recommend, not panic. But, you know, just the more you work to reduce the exposures in children and adults, the better their health is going to be protected.
Sarah, just the last thing for you, of course, all of this is incredibly useful information for a lot of the people that we tend to hear in the Bulkley Valley and the northwest of BC right now that are experiencing some of these wildfires. But what can people do to limit their exposure from wildfire smoke?
Yeah, so the key, number one piece is take a look at the indoor air in your home. Because most of us spend the vast majority of our time inside, we really want to be working to keep that air as smoke-free as possible. So, you know, we'll often say we'll close the windows and doors, and that makes sense to do, especially, but only if you're not going to end up overheating in your home, because it's also dangerous to be too hot. But even with doors and windows closed, we know that smoke can still get inside. It's pretty tricky that way. You know, it can come in through any vents or any other gaps or openings in the building envelope. So we highly recommend that people use portable air cleaners to clean that smoke out of the indoor air. And what we've found in recent years is that commercial air cleaners are very effective, but so are these, you know, less more affordable alternatives made with a box fan and some furnace filters. Those can also be really great at getting those small particles out of the air. If you can't clean the air in your entire home, then focus on one room where you spend a lot of time, your bedrooms, children's bedrooms, those sorts of places, so that people are protected while they're sleeping and maybe at other times during the day. So that's number one, focus on the indoor air. Number two, when you are outside, there are some precautions that you can take. So first of all, if you're wearing a well-fitted respirator, such as an N95 or KN95, we've all got these kicking around still from the pandemic, or most of us do, that can really help to cut the particles that you're breathing. As long as it is well fitted, the air's got to go through the mask and not around the mask. And then, as I said earlier, simply taking it easy can go a long way. So, you know, when you're at rest as an adult, you might be breathing about 6 liters of air per minute. If you are out for a run, you're breathing more like 60 liters of air per minute. So taking it easy and really kind of not overexerting yourself and not breathing too hard will limit how much smoke you inhale and how deep it gets into your lungs as well. So those are kind of the primary precautions people can take.
All right. Great, Sarah. Thanks so much for your insight and thoughts today. We very much appreciate it.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. Take care.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or check us out on the web at smithersradio.com. CICK News has been made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com, or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to my colleague Pam Hassan and all of our roving journalists, I'm Daniel Messick. Thanks for listening.